Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Swinging a high fly into shallow center field. Will they test it? Eaton's at third. Kowser makes the catch. Nate is coming home. Throw is wide. He stops, and he will not score. What in the world? I don't know. That was not well played by Kowser. Obviously, hindsight 20/20. I know you got Bregman up. I'd have been tempted there.
You know, you see the play develop, and you use your instincts, and you make the decision, and that's the decision I made. Obviously, the throw was offline. And, you know, we got to live with it, and I live with it, and you know, it is what it is at this point.
This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
Hour number two here, Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. Nice to have you with us here tonight on a Wednesday night, the 20th of August. We are Boston Sports Original. We're coming to you live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. And along with Boston, we are live in Portland and Saco, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the Islands. And if you're not in any of those places, you can always listen by streaming WEEI and the Christian Arcan Show on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps as well. Very excited for 7:30 this hour. Gordo from the Play Tessie podcast is going to be joining me. We'll discuss the recent Red Sox free fall with him and some of this waiver wire stuff that they've been doing as well. That's coming up in about a half an hour. Right now, though, I want to talk about that play we just had for you there, because it's been discussed a lot. Now, I think that play, as bad as it was, and it was bad, was nothing compared to leaving the bases loaded three straight innings. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. Like, that makes it otherworldly. But that play is going to stand out, because that play did leave a mark. You're in extra innings. You bunt the runner over for the first time. You actually lay down a correct bunt and get the guy over to third base. One on, one out. Pop fly to right center field. Kowser's under it. He makes the catch in shallow right center. Or left center, I guess it was. And Eaton, who's very, very fast, takes about four steps down the line, stops and retreats. Even as the ball clearly about, I don't know, 40 feet offline. And wasn't exactly a laser beam either. That thing hung up in the air a while. You had a pretty good view of its trajectory heading towards home plate. And that's the part of it that I think is really... because on some level, I understand what Kyle Hudson was saying there. Colton Kowser's not some guy with a weak arm. He's got a very strong arm. He's got one of the strongest arms of any outfielder in the league right now. You know, I mean, that's just, if you look at the numbers, which I didn't realize there were numbers for this, but I Googled it and looked it up, and he's number 17 in the majors. He has the 17th strongest arm of any position player in the entire major leagues, which has got to be pretty good, right? There's a lot of players in the major leagues, a lot of teams. In fact, Rob Manfred, already too many. No more teams. But you know what I mean?
De-expansion instead of more expansion.
Retraction instead of expansion. That's what I'd like to say. But Kowser, he's not a guy that you should run on all the time, and certainly not when it's a pop-up into right center field. You know, that's, you only test that in certain situations. And that last night was one of those situations where you're trying to put pressure on the other team, where you're trying to manufacture a run. And the reason why Kyle Hudson, he was not going to say this after the game. He's going to talk about the analytics and the scouting report and all this other stuff. But you know the real reason why Kyle Hudson didn't send Eaton home on that play, why he made him hold up? You know the real reason why? Because he was scared of him getting thrown out at home. And the reason he was scared of him getting thrown out at home is because this team has run into a million outs this year. This team is a stupid team on the base paths. They've been a dumb team on the base paths all season long. And if this wasn't something that was a big, big problem, then I bet you Kyle Hudson would have recognized the situation and the scenario that they were in and said, Eaton, you got to run. You got to get home. You got to score this run. At the very least, you got to draw a throw. And if it's not online, you got to get home. You got to get to home plate. And instead, that. And all of a sudden, you're hoping for the least clutch hitters in the history of the world right now to go up there and drive him in. Ridiculous. And I think that that's indicative right now of why this team is in trouble. They've been a dumb team all year. They've been so dumb this year that the third base coach was terrified of adding to it. If they were a team that occasionally ran into an out here and there, you send them there and you don't even think about it. This is a team that has screwed that up so many times this year that now it's in all their heads. And it's in Kyle Hudson's head, and it's in Nate Eaton's head, and it's in Alex Cora's head. It's in everybody's head. And so, yeah. No, we're not. We can't. We can't run into another out. We'll never hear the end of it. Well, you know what? If you would run, you would have scored. And now you're not going to hear the end of this. And again, I don't think this is as bad as striking out with the bases loaded a million times in a row. But it is one of those things that over the course of the year, it builds up. It has an effect. It's like a snowball running down the hill. All of a sudden, you got a full-on avalanche. And that was it. That was the avalanche last night. Yes, Jeff.
So, just, I want to point this out as well. You know, some people might make the excuse that there was, I don't know if you caught it on the broadcast, but Eaton, when he went back to the bag, was sort of arguing with the ump, saying the third baseman
right,
was like obstructing his path.
I never saw that,
whatever.
By the way. I saw the replay from home plate, and I never saw the third baseman block him at any point.
Right,
but
right.
Maybe I just missed it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And even Cora in the postgame said, like, oh, I did that as a player. So, like, let's
right.
take that off the table. Now, to your point about Hudson, I'm not that concerned about him specifically because he's made some pretty good reads in the past. Like, how many times Roman Anthony in the past couple of weeks has he been able to score from first base? I mean, part of it is also Roman being a good base runner. But remember also in that game, Connor Wong was able to induce that balk.
True.
He went back to third, and Hudson sort of gave him the message of, hey, get Sugano to try and step off, get that third disengagement or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he told Wong to do it. Wong did it. They get the run. So, you know, we had a caller last night being like, I don't know what Kyle Hudson has done that's really good. I still think he's a good third base coach.
Okay. I mean, I don't know the particulars of that job to the point where I can say if he's good or not. He was not good last night, and this team has been a really dumb base running team this year. They've run into so many outs. Not as many lately, I'll give you that. It hasn't been quite as big of a problem lately. But between the errors on the field with the glove and the errors on the base paths this year, and they're not all, every single one of them, Kyle Hudson's fault, right? I'm not going to put that all on him. But it has been a problem for the team this year. There's no question about it. The base running errors this team has committed this year have been laughably bad, like cartoonishly bad. And I think that's what happened last night. I think Hudson saw that, said, I cannot send this guy into another out. I've done too much of that this year. We've done too much of that as a team this year. And I think he held them up because they were just a little worried that, you know, if they ran into an out there, they would never hear the end of it. And quite frankly, they're probably right about that. They're probably right. But sometimes you have to take that chance. In that situation, trying to manufacture a run like that in extra innings, I mean, it's like down a run. Like, it's not even, there shouldn't have been even a second thought.
So question for you then. It's because that game, it was 4-3, that
yes.
next half inning, and the Orioles took the lead. If Eaton had went and he had got thrown out, would you still be, I mean, yes, you can be mad at the loss because the bases loaded or all that stuff, but would you be as mad if Eaton was sent and he was thrown out?
I'd be mad if it happened, but if it was a perfect throw from Couser, then you'd tip your hat to Couser. Well, he made a perfect throw. What are you going to do? You know, and that's what you're banking on. You're gambling on the fact that this guy who has a good arm, Couser does have a good arm, but that he's going to make a perfect throw. All they have for those numbers is how fast he throws the ball, how hard he throws it, how long it takes to get from his hand to the base or however, you know, far he's throwing the ball. That's all they really have. Accuracy is something totally different. And that was not an accurate throw. He airmailed that thing. And I'm just confused as to why anybody would see that ball come out of his hand when you're four steps down the line. See the trajectory. These are baseball players. All they know is trajectory. You know, that's like the whole thing. You didn't see that ball flying down the line and think, oh, yeah, send our fastest guy home. I can't understand it. I don't get it. I understand maybe the hesitancy, because I think Fleming said it afterwards. He was like, well, if that was a perfect throw, then he's probably out by a lot. Probably, if it's a perfect throw. And I think that at that point in the game, you got to roll the dice on him not making a perfect throw. And what do you know? He didn't make one. And if he did, you tip your cap. And it's easy for me to say right now, if he had got thrown out at home, I'd probably be yelling and screaming too. But I'd rather have that than have him get stranded there by your best hitters like they've been stranding everybody with the bases loaded the entire freaking game. All right? That's how I feel about that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones. Hamilton is in Swampscott. Go ahead, Hamilton.
Hey, guys. So, you know, after what I saw last night, I think the Yankees are licking their chops after they got swept by us.
Mm-hmm.
And after what they did to St. Louis and how they just bludgeoned Tampa Bay last night with 9 home runs, I think they just can't wait to play us. And I wouldn't be surprised if we get swept and we're 2-3 games behind on the wild card. That's all I got.
Thanks, Hamilton. I don't think that's off the table. You just got swept by the Orioles. I know it was 2 games, but, you know, it's 2 games against the Orioles. Shouldn't lose 2 games against them. I know you went against Rodgers, and he's one of the sneaky best pitchers in all of baseball, really. I mean, that's what he is. Trevor Rodgers is ridiculous. Out of nowhere. Start of the year in the minor leagues. 28 years old, whatever he is. It's not like he's some young kid no one's seen. He was the runner-up for the National League Rookie of the Year with the Marlins like 5 years ago. And now all of a sudden he's Cy Young. Sandy Koufax out there. Go figure, right? Sagano, though? You should have been able to hit Sagano. He's not that good. 617-779-7937. Let's try Mike in Buffalo. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Christian. Those are the kind of games that happened last night, you know what I mean? I can see him losing the first game because that one guy's, well, they're getting their 1-2, but I mean, they should have won last night. And this happens quite a bit with this team. And, you know, I mean, they got to once in a while hit the good pitching. That's all I got to say, Christian.
All right, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Always good to hear from you. 617-779-7937. Johnny's in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Johnny.
Arcan, thanks for taking the call.
Got it, pal.
We getting a dong report? We getting a dong report tonight real quick?
You bet your rosy red ass we are, Johnny. We are getting the dongs at 9:30. Yes, sir.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay, so last night, 2 quick things on last night. I'm not an analytics guy, but say the throw home there, it's a 50-50 shot at him getting out. That is a better chance of him being safe than you have the 300%, you know, 3 out of every 10 that, whatever it's the guy, now I'm slipping his mind. But
Bregman was up, I think, was the next one, yeah.
Yeah, Bregman's up, so maybe he's a 300 hitter at best. So you get a 3 out of 10 shot that he's going to get a hit there versus a 500% chance. You know, I'm not a math guy, clearly, but better chance he's safe on the run there. Then the second thing I want to say is just go back to the 9th inning, because this is where I really had a big problem. There, the Orioles pitcher is having a total meltdown. Trevor Story comes up. Again, not an analytics guy, but where's Cora, the third base coach, anybody to tell a story like, hey, take the first pitch, which he swings over at 6 inches below the strike zone. He ends up getting a good count, 2-1, and I think that's where he swings and hits a weak ground ball to third. Total hard-o move, dude. Like, the guy's going to walk you. Just stand up there and let him walk you. At least get a three ball count. So I really had a problem with that at bat. I know we like Story. He's having a great year, but that was a really rough time for me. What do you think, man?
Yeah, Johnny, I agree. That at bat from Trevor Story was pathetic. I like what Trevor Story's done this year, too, and I've been rooting for him all year because I like his story and I like a good comeback story. He's a veteran presence on this team. And at certain points this year, he's carried the offense, too. Let's not forget about that either. But that at bat was pitiful. It was pitiful. you got that Geraldo guy out there. He'd walked four batters that inning. He walked Romy to start the inning, and then Lowe hit the home run. Got a couple of strikeouts at the bottom of the order. Then he walks Anthony, walks Bregman, and walks Duran. Trevor Story comes up, first pitch, strike swinging. Like, what? What are you doing?
Well, remember earlier in the year how I think it was when Sedan was struggling a little bit. He said that he lets batters kind of go up with their own kind of approach. He doesn't really get into his ear. But then when Sedan was struggling or he couldn't lay down a bunt or whatever, he said, okay, that's where I'm going to change. I think maybe Story is one of those guys you might need to get into his ear a little bit more, because I think he's trying to get into the ear of Sedan. He's gotten into the ear of a
who's getting into the ear?
Cora.
Is, okay.
Just talking about philosophy or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it changed when Sedan got hot. Cora was telling him, hey, look at the first strike. Swing at the first strike.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
No,
so,
I understand. And Rafael is a young player in the league, and that type of advice for someone like him I think is useful. Trevor Story needs to know better than this. Trevor Story needs to recognize when a guy is completely wild, walking the entire ballpark, maybe you don't get up there and swing at the first pitch. Out of the strike zone, by the way.
Right. That's when Cora maybe needs to reinforce the message, even if he knows already.
Maybe, but he shouldn't have to with a guy like Trevor Story, is my point. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to Tom in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, Christian. Yeah. You guys are singing my tune. The throw was frustrating. I think he should have went, but, Story.
Tom, come on, buddy. Listen, I was saying way worse than that up in the booth last night. And when they struck out, you hear the crowd booing. That was me up there in the Joe Castiglione booth. Doug Lane's like, hey, can you shut up, please? Can you stop booing? Can you stop hissing at everyone? You're, like, spitting all over the place. They had to go up there with, like, a squeegee.
Which is funny because you were on the second level.
Second level, yeah.
You made it over the wills and onto the crowd.
I did. It was some intense hissing going on up there. It's funny. People don't hiss anymore when they're upset with a performance. Booing, it was always booing and hissing back in the day. You know? Boo, hiss. No one hisses anymore. Except for snakes, I guess. But people don't hiss the way they used to. Maybe that's what we need to do. You know, Red Sox, they're used to getting booed. We start hissing at them. Don't hiss at Jaron Duran, though. Jaron Duran's got to control himself, man. Like, just basic stuff here. You know, you struck out with the bases loaded. Well, you don't think anyone's going to heckle you? You think you're going to get a nice, clean walk back to the dugout after that? In the midst of your whole team just choking for three straight innings? Like, what, you think no one's going to react negatively to that? I don't know what the guy said. It was probably not something he should have said. But Duran shouldn't have said what he said back either. But as I said during the crossover, you know, paying customer or not, at this point, if you're a Red Sox fan at all, if you know this team at all, you know that if you're sitting close enough to the field and you yell something at Jaron Duran, there's a good chance he's going to yell something back at you, okay? So I don't feel bad for any of the paying customers who had the horror of Jaron Duran calling him a effing whatever kitty cat, whatever he called him there, which he very clearly said. I mean, it was very clear what he was saying. I'm not a lip reader or anything. I didn't think you need to be for that one. My only concern is that he's going to get suspended. You can't keep doing this and just expecting it to not come back to get you. You know, you can't shout at fans and curse at fans. In the major leagues in 2025, you can't do it. You know, you just can't. The only way you can sort of wriggle out of that is if you say something along the lines of, well, the fan said something way worse. The fan said something about my mother. Fan said something about the documentary. Fan said whatever the fan said. And I don't think Duran has said that. I don't think we actually got a... I don't think anyone got, like, banned for life. I don't think there was any of that went on in this particular instance. But if Jaron Duran gets suspended because he can't stop yelling at fans, then he's a liability if that's the case. Get a hold of yourself, all right? Yeah, no one likes striking out with the bases loaded. Sure, I'm sure. And no one likes getting heckled by the fans at the park. But if you're going to put this team in jeopardy because you can't control your emotions, then you're a liability. It's as simple as that. And he's got to be careful about that. That's not like I'm not just whistling past the graveyard here. You've got to be careful about those things. They will suspend him if he keeps it up. And they already did. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, Gordo from Play Tessie will join the show first. Here's Joe Braverman to get you caught up on what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Just preparation, execution. Working on our craft in the cage before the game, on the field, and finding a way to get the job done when the lights are on. And I feel like I believe in all these guys in this room that will play some better baseball here. Obviously, this last series wasn't our best baseball, our brand of baseball, and I feel like we will work hard to correct that.
It's the Christian Arcand Show here, WEEI. We are Boston Sports Original. And we are live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. We're going to be joined in about 1 minute by Gordo from the Play Tessie podcast. I'll look forward to talking with him, getting his take on what was a brutal weekend, and then, you know, the start to this week here. Red Sox baseball. As while they are still a playoff team, as of this broadcast, and could not be unseated as a playoff team, at least not for another three games. Assuming the Royals continue to win and the Red Sox continue to lose, which I'm not exactly counting on. However, the Red Sox played the Royals and they handled them. But the Royals had a nice little trade deadline. You know, much better one than you had. The Royals trade deadline was pretty smart. They got two starting pitchers who are cost controlled, by the way. They're not great. Bregert and Kolek. But they're two young, cost-controlled pitchers, and they got them for Freddie Fermin, okay, who's a backup catcher who sucks. They got Bailey Falter and Mike Yastrzemski. And I'm not saying that those are all, like, franchise-altering moves, but it's more than what you did. It's a lot more than what you did. So keep an eye on the Royals. They're sneaking up on you. And for more on that and for more on what was a tough 72 hours here for the Boston Red Sox, we are joined by Gordo of Play Tessie, government name Nat Gordon, of course, but we call him Gordo when he joins us here on the Christian Arcand Show. Gordo, what's up, buddy? How we doing?
What's up, Arcan? What's going on?
Nothing. Just yelling and screaming about the Red Sox like normal. About as bad a loss as they've had. I don't even know if this year covers it. That was about as bad a loss as I've seen since that one good season they had in 2021. Just brutal last night. And I don't know if you agree with this, Gordo, but to me, it felt like a turning point kind of loss.
It's tough because, like, I feel like I say worst loss of the season or best win of the season so often, and I rack through my brain trying to think of losses that were worse than this, and it's like you can think of sequences of losses that were worse. Like, they got swept by the Angels.
Right.
They got the Brewers, they walked them off, like, three times in a row. But for a singular loss, this one takes the cake. I don't want to say turning point because I still do believe that this team is going to make the playoffs, and it really is about whether they're going to get that home field advantage in that first round. But yeah, as bad as it gets, a million reasons why it does not get worse than what we saw last night.
What do you think of Alex Cora's job performance this year? I don't know if I asked you this question, but I asked it to a lot of people, so it may have been to you as well. Why this year was going to be different and why the Red Sox weren't going to melt down in the second half. A lot of people said it was because the team's different. They have high-end talent. Do you think that Alex Cora has changed his approach in a way that can prevent this team from having another August-September meltdown?
Well, when you look at it, in 162 games, there's going to be times where either you question what the manager does, or the manager makes a decision that backfires, or the manager makes a decision that in the moment you could tell was probably not the right one, like when he left Giolito in San Diego to walk four in a row. Like, I thought that was pretty clear-cut, not the right decision. So you can always pinpoint stuff like that. But when you look at the overall job performance, I hesitate to criticize too much. Because with the hand that he was dealt this year, you know, traded with Rafael Devers turning on the team and eventually getting traded, with some of the pitchers like Tanner Houck barely pitching, and when he did pitch, he was terrible. Mm. Cutter Crawford not throwing a pitch. Like, this team hasn't exactly been dealt the greatest hand, and he's got them in a position to be still, I think, one of the scariest teams in the American League. So I hesitate to question his job performance. Maybe I've questioned some of the decision-making more than previous years, but the results are the results. I know lately it's been tough, but the overall results, like, that the team has performed.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're a playoff team right now as of this broadcast, and can't be unseated from that for at least another four games, or three games, I guess, but I don't know. I'm watching this team around this time. The third week in August is usually when it happens, when the breakdown starts, when, you know, you start seeing some cracks in the foundation, and then all of a sudden September rolls around and they're completely out of it. Now, you're right. They've built themselves enough of a, I don't want to say a lead, but enough goodwill anyway in the standings to maybe avoid that, but it's just hard. It's hard to watch the Orioles come to town, the Marlins come to town. Like, this was a team that was dominant at Fenway. What do you think sort of happened here these last three games?
You know, I really can't explain it because, I mean, you look at the overall, the home road splits, and this is why I care so much about getting that top wild card spot or winning the division. But, I mean, obviously the wild card spot's way more within reach, but they're 41-25 at home, even after this homestand, going 2-3 against two sub-500 teams. And on the road, they're 27-34, 7 under .500 there. I really can't explain what happened this week. I mean, the Orioles, I know they brought in a couple of their better arms, and you know, they've been playing good ball. They beat the Mariners in a series before they came here. They beat the Astros in a series before they came here. They crushed the Astros. So you may, with them, it's maybe a case of running into the team at the wrong time. With the Marlins, I mean, they won the series and they really should have swept it. It's just a case of Isaiah Campbell on Saturday forcing Aroldis Chapman into the game and thus making him unavailable for Sunday. If Isaiah Campbell can get through that ninth inning without bringing the tying run to the plate in a 5-run lead. Oh my God. If he could have gotten through that game, Aroldis comes in on Sunday, they sweep the Marlins, and we're not talking about a bad week/weekend. We're talking about, you know, two bad games against the Orioles. It's a completely different conversation if Isaiah Campbell gets the job done on Saturday.
We're talking with Gordo from Play Tessie, the podcast, joining us here on the Christian Arcan Show. Gordo, the roster is not completely set yet as we come down to these last, you know, 6 weeks of the season, which is kind of a problem in and of itself. But, you know, you're seeing guys get DFA'd and optioned down and brought up, and some of that's injury-related, but some of it's performance-related. And you look at the Yoshidas and the Toros and the Jordan Hickses and the Walker Buehlers of the world, how can this team proceed with these guys out there hurting the team every night. I mean, that's, you know, you, with some of them, it's not a small sample size anymore. With some of these guys now, it's just, well, what do you do?
Well, I think the addition of Nathaniel Lowe at least gives you some upside, because you're right to bring in Abraham Toro to that conversation. He has not performed for the last month and a half, 2 months, and that double play last night was absolutely killer. Mm. The focus I want to be, because the bullpen right there, you talk about guys getting optioned, guys coming up, guys we haven't seen all year, guys we've barely seen all year. Like, the Richard Fitz addition to the bullpen here is interesting to me, and I'm surprised they didn't bring him up in this role or start putting him in that role in AAA a little bit sooner. You could tell for a while, like, they were on fumes in terms of right-handed arms in the bullpen. I mean, obviously you trust Whitlock, but then it's down to Weissert, who I know we look at Isaiah Campbell on Saturday as the reason for the loss on Sunday, but Weissert has not been striking guys out. I believe it was 8 Ks in his last 20-something innings. So not where you want to be there, and obviously he gives up the game-time bomb. After that, it went Hicks, who's obviously been terrible, and Isaiah Campbell, who is Isaiah Campbell. Now you add Richard Fitz into the mix, and hopefully within the next week you can add Justin Slayton into the mix, and it completely changes the conversation. But the truth is, yeah, like, you are taking shots here. Richard Fitz hasn't pitched in a relief role. Justin Slayton hasn't pitched in a competitive game in months. So, yeah, you're going to be relying on some things to go right. I do think most teams go through that as you get late in the year. Guys get hurt, guys get fatigued, and you're relying on a lot more than 26 guys. But it's going to be something this team – they're going to have to get some things right. There's no doubt about it. Between now and the end of the season, a lot of things are going to have to go right. Alex Cora is going to have to push the right buttons. Craig Breslow is going to have to have the right guys on the roster. And guys who haven't necessarily stepped up either this year or in some time are going to have to.
With that, in that same vein, Gordo, where do you stand on potentially calling back up Christian Campbell and or the password or Peyton Tolley or some of these other guys in the minors that we haven't, some of whom we've seen, but some that we haven't seen yet?
I think there's going to be a time for some of these guys. I don't have any real urgency with any of the names you brought up, just because, I mean, we can start with Tolley. Has only pitched 2 AAA games and hasn't pitched out of a relief role yet. You want to be careful with that guy. Password, I see Nathaniel Lowe and Romy Gonzalez as a really good first base platoon. So, I mean, yeah, he's barely played first base in AAA. Maybe at some point, if one of those two struggles, like if Nathaniel Lowe has the year he had in D.C., then it can be a conversation. But obviously, he hits the huge home run last night. That's not part of the conversation yet. Christian Campbell, I want to find a spot for him. I think he's going to be a really good player and can help the team this year if needed. But I just don't have the sense of urgency yet with the way the roster is right now. I do think when rosters expand in September, he could play a role. And I think them slotting him in the outfield a little bit recently is them kind of keeping their options open with him for wherever a potential injury may arise, or if someone underperforms, you could insert Christian Campbell into that spot. But they're obviously taking it slow with him. They want to make sure they get this right. Obviously, the kid still has a super high ceiling, and you want to make sure you do right by him and put him in the best position to develop. So once the AAA season ends, that's different. And maybe if there's reason for a little bit more urgency, I could change my tone. But for now, I mean, Fitz and Slayton to me are the keys that can really change the way these games have been going, because they've been won and lost, more so lost, with the bottom of the bullpen. Like, to me, that's where the issue is.
All right, Gordo, before we let you go here, we got 4 coming up with the Yankees in the Bronx starting tomorrow night. The Red Sox have really handled the Yankees this season so far. Why do you think that those series have been so one-sided, and how do you expect this one to go starting tomorrow?
The Sox and the Yankees are so similar in a way, because they're hot and cold teams. I mean, the Yankees at some points look like they're the worst team in baseball, and right now, I mean, yesterday they tied their franchise record for homers in a game. So it really could just be a symptom of catching the right guys at the right time. Your guess is as good as mine for this series, because the Yankees are playing good ball and the Red Sox aren't playing good ball, but it's hard to imagine the way these games have looked this year. The Yankees, you know, taking control and taking 3 out of 4 from the Sox. I mean, to me, I got to see it to believe it.
All right, Gordo, great to talk with you as always, my friend. You can catch Gordo along with Sammy and Pat on the Play Tessie podcast, which, what? What'd you just look at me for?
Where's my name mentioned in
oh,
that
I'm sorry.
Promo?
And, of course, Joe Braverman, producer extraordinaire.
Thank you.
On the Play Tessie podcast, and who never demands credit for anything. But, yes, you can catch that. When's the next episode out?
We just dropped our interview with Nathaniel Lowe today. You can find that on the feeds, and we'll be back for another one on Friday.
Outstanding. All right, Gordo, great to talk with you, buddy. Thanks for taking the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, sounds good, Arkan. We'll talk soon.
All right, that is Gordo. Listen to the Play Tessie. The new Nathaniel Lowe episode is out. A new episode coming out on Friday as well. Guys are working hard, everyone except Joe, that is, to crank out these great podcast episodes. Just kidding, Joe. I know you work very hard, too.
Look, you want me to balance that and the Dong Report?
I know, it's hard. It's hard to balance the Dongs, believe me. I know. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got some Red Sox phone calls hanging on the line here. We will get to those, and we're going to switch gears to the Patriots as well. But we'll get to your Red Sox phone calls and clear those out before we get to our Patriots conversation, which is coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. It's the Christian Arkan Show here on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
That's an impact on Army center field. We prepare before the series, and we decide who we're going to challenge or not. So we didn't challenge him.
Is there any means called to stop, or is Hudson telling him?
We prepare before the series, and that's an impact arm, and we decided not to challenge him.
Alex Cora after the game. Well, how do you argue with that? This team does things their way. You know, we talked about it. The arm out there. We decided the situation were to arise, that this is how we're going to do it. And that's what we did. And he's not crazy to say that, okay? Because I am far from a baseball stat head, all right? I'm not exactly Bill Picotto over here. But Baseball Savant, is that a good website, Baseball Savant? Do you like that one?
For the advanced metrics, if you wanted to dig a little bit deeper about arm strength, angle, etc.
So this is arm strength leaderboard, okay? Number one is O'Neill Cruz, the shortstop for the Pirates, big giant shortstop who hasn't been playing shortstop as much though, right? Isn't he on the outfield now? Addison, Barger, Nolan Jones, Fernando Tatis, Acuna, Jackson Merrill, Willie Abreu, Dane Myers, Rafaela. A lot of outfielders for the most part. Actually, I'm looking at all outfielders right now, or at least guys who have played in the outfield. And of all the outfielders in all of baseball, Colton Cowser has the 17th best arm by miles per hour on average of how hard he throws the ball, which I cannot imagine. Who is in charge of keeping those stats? Like, that is, you know what I mean? Because that's not something that's just in a box score. Someone's got to be there watching every single throw with a little stopwatch. Are you kidding me? No thanks. No thanks. Sure, there's some other more sophisticated way they do it, but that's the first thing that springs to mind. Colton Cowser has the 17th best arm in baseball. Better than Pete Crow Armstrong and Adolis Garcia and Kyle Stowers and Tyler O'Neill and Alex Verdugo and Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger and all these people. Strong arm. Top 20 strong arm in baseball. Does that mean you never run on him? Does that mean you can't? If it was Vlad Guerrero out there, Vlad Guerrero Sr., remember his arm? Remember what he used to do? He would get the ball with his back to the wall, and he'd throw it without even taking a hop and nail a guy at third base. Like, he was ridiculous, Vlad Guerrero. I don't care if it's Ken Griffey. I don't care if it's, who's another guy with a big arm? Raul Mondesi had a big arm.
Okay? Modern era, I think Yoenis Cespedes had a pretty strong arm out there.
Great one. Who are some of the best outfield arms? Maybe that's a discussion for another day. But there were a lot of guys, you know? Back in the steroid era, there were guys that... Bo Jackson, you remember Bo Jackson, some of his highlights? Throwing guys out. Jim Edmonds was another one. Who else? Who else had a big, nasty arm? Text them in, 617-779-7937. You can tweet them at me at Christian Arkin, as I'm now drawing a blank. The guy I default to, the first person I think of when I think of like those big outfield arms is Vlad Guerrero. And how he used to just, like a cannon, you know? There was an old baseball game for Nintendo. It was like Robot Baseball. I forget exactly what the game was called, but it was like Robo Baseball. And the pitchers, like, their arm was a cannon, and they would pitch just by, like, holding their arm out, and, like, the ball shoots out of their arm. That's what Vlad Guerrero was like, throwing the ball from right field. He was ridiculous. Vlad Guerrero Sr., I'm talking about, not his kid. I don't know if I've ever seen his kid throw a ball, period. He's over at first base there, just catching balls. I'm sure he's thrown them before.
Well, this past year, dude, you remember the play Ronald Acuna made against the Yankees where he had his back turned and he threw it all the way to third?
Yes.
That's an arm strength guy.
Preposterously nasty. That was very, very good. Willie Abreu, by the way, is 10th. Sidan Rafaela, 13th. Someone ran on those guys. You'd think, I shouldn't run on those guys, right? Well, okay, they're right around there. Colton Cowser is a contemporary of theirs. They're better than him in terms of, you know, average, but it's all pretty much the same. They're all pretty close to each other. So Cora's not totally crazy to be saying that. But in that situation, and you have to look at these things situationally, are you counting on that guy to make a perfect throw? Hard throw, sure. It was a hard throw, but it was way offline. And that was a pressure play. And the pressure was on him, not on you. All you had to do was run home, and you had your fastest guy, second fastest guy out there, willing to do that. So, you know, you can go back and try and cover for Kyle Hudson, which is what I think Cora was doing there. I think he was trying to take some of the blame there so that not everybody's dumping all over his third base coach. But, you know, it was a failure all the way around. It was a failure by the analytics people. It was a failure by Cora and Hudson not to recognize the situation they were in. And it was also, I think, it was a bit of a compilation problem, you know, because this team has run into so many outs and had so many base running blunders over the course of this year that I think all of them, Hudson, Cora, everybody, even Eaton, they were petrified to run into an out, even though going there was the right thing to do. And it really was. It 100% was. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's get to the end of our Red Sox phone calls before we switch gears, talk a little Patriots. Great week they're having, too, by the way. We'll start with Casper in Worcester, normally our leadoff guy on Red Sox Review. He leads us off this segment. Hey, Casper.
Hi, Christian. Christian, what is the real first name of the password?
Just Dinkson.
Okay. I got it.
I got a thumbs up from Joe back there, so that's right. Just Dinkson Garcia, right? Yeah.
that Gordo was pretty good on everything he said.
Sure was.
And there's no reason to give up the ship. The Yankees aren't that good. If we go down there and split, you know that's a real victory. There's too much talent on the team. They're young. They've come back after every bad omen game. And this little deep blue funk isn't going to last. So I just think that we'll definitely make the playoffs. I want the top playoff spot. But New York isn't that good. Sure, they want to beat us up. But I see it to be a bright future for us making the playoffs. And I think we'll be in a better position roster-wise. Nothing relative to the trade deadline about cleaning out some that shouldn't be there. And we'll be in better shape.
Maybe.
By the way, I tried to call you about 3 minutes before I did,
mm-hmm.
because I wanted, maybe you can execute this. You've got the authority because I'm saying it to you.
Okay.
But I had something passed on to a Red Sox fan in Brooklyn, Johnny B. And if you want, you can feel free to give him my contact information.
Okay.
It'll help him in that. All right?
Yeah, sure.
He may still be listening.
Johnny in Brooklyn, he listens all night. Johnny's a P1, Casper, so yeah. If you want, you can talk to Joe and give him the info, and next time Johnny calls in, we can pass it along. No problem.
So you want to do that now with him?
Yeah, sure. Why don't you put you on hold here? You can talk to Joe, and you guys can arrange that. That's nice. I don't know what he's talking about. I hope this isn't like a like a Unabomber situation here. I don't think it is. Casper in Worcester seems like a very nice guy. I don't know what it is he wants to tell Johnny in Brooklyn, but I guess we'll find out. Let's go to Dan in Boston. Hi, Dan.
Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Dan.
I think you're... the guy that was on Gordon hit the what I was going to say. Bases loaded, one out. You got Toro, who's I think he was 0-for-8, 1-for-11 in the last three games. I would have pinch hit for him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Abraham Toro is certainly not a guy who's been cover himself in glory here this year. I don't know who you had on the bench. You had Narvaez on the bench, I think. I don't know if Willie or Abreu was available. I remember in the booth last night where I was, Bragg, people were talking about, well, maybe you could have had Abreu come in and pinch it, but I'm okay with that not happening. I don't want to go out there and, if he's dealing with something, make it worse. Because, you know, Toro, yeah, you don't really want to see him up there taking hacks, I guess. But that wasn't what killed the team, you know? Like, you had your guys up there with the bases loaded. You had guys that you wanted in that position up there with the bases loaded. You had Trevor Story. You had Jaron Duran. You had, that was in the ninth inning. Who was it in the tenth? You had, yeah, Toro was up with the one out. You struck out Wong, Toro, and then Romy Gonzalez. No, I'm sorry. I had that backwards. Toro strikes out. Wong strikes out. That was with the bases empty in the ninth inning. And then they walked everybody, and Trevor Story ends up blowing it there. Toro, when he grounded into the double play in the 10th inning, I've been tough on Toro. He hit that ball pretty well. You know, sometimes you like, it's just, that wasn't some weak little dinky hit. That wasn't in a bat that he gave away. He waited on a changeup. He got the changeup, and he turned on it. And, you know, it was right to whoever it was, the second baseman, whose name escapes me at the moment. And that happens sometimes. And it happens a lot with Toro because I guess he's not that good. But pinch hitting for him there, I don't know. Who was even available on the bench to pinch hit? Narvaez and was Abreu available?
I don't think he was available, but I don't know if they were going to play him, obviously.
Okay.
Because they want him healthy in New York.
Right. And that they made a point of that and saying, yeah, I don't think we're going to use him for these next two games. There's the day off, and then we want him healthy for the New York series. Sure. I mean, yeah, I guess it could have possibly helped getting the bat out of the lineup. But if Abreu re-aggravated whatever his injury was, then it would have been, you know, and they lost the game anyway, then who wins there? Josh in New Hampshire, you get the last word. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, the only thing that's been consistent with the Red Sox from top to bottom, from management to the lineup to pitching to hitting, has been inconsistency. Mm. I mean, I don't know the what the numbers look like across the rest of the major leagues, but the number of different lineups that we have put out on that field cannot be good for consistency. I mean, I'm sorry, Rafaela ever leaving center field is just a mind-boggling move, in my opinion. I get he's probably the best option at second base right now, but you're talking about a guy who hands down is probably the best defensive center fielder in the American League and probably one of the top three in the majors.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Thanks for the call, Josh. I got to let you go because we're up against the top of the hour. By the way, other guys with big arms, Ichiro, thank you, JBJ, Jose Guillen, Dwight Evans, Rick Ankiel, Dave Parker. Oh, yeah, good ones there. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we're talking Patriots. This latest from Chad Graff in The Athletic made my blood boil, among other liquids in my body, and we'll get to that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.